Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'm all right. Nobody but about me. Why you got to give me a fight? Can't you just let it be?
Jeff Gosch has done a lot to really hurt us, and people need to know about it. The public needs to know about it. And like I say, I don't have that long to talk, but what this was, they were going to pave the ballpark road, and I begged them not to, and I begged them to put a ditch down through there to keep that water off of us. And it was a long story, but anyway, this is a text message that I sent to Jeff Gosch. And he called me up, and I mean, he cussed me with some very, very vulgar, colorful language. And he told me, he said, we're going to pave that road. And he said, I'm going to tell you something there, Kelly. I told him he's going to appeal to the state and the governor. He said, they're our friends. We know them. He said, they're not going to listen to you. They're going to listen to us, meaning all of y'all. He said, they're going to listen to us. And he said, and so after he got through with all of his spiel, he slammed the phone down. Then he, and I wasn't hot with him or anything. You don't see anything hostile in that text. And then he called me back, or he texted me back, and that's when he said, don't you bother me for anything, nothing. Now, that's not much of a public servant.
All right, so this is a guy named Larry Kelly in the forum, the open forum, public forum, for the county commission meeting last week, talking obviously about Commissioner Jeff Gosch, District 1. The underlying issue is a small little road, Nathan Road, off of Longleaf Drive, just east of Blue Angel. And Blue Angel? All of a sudden my brain. I don't know. Pine Forest, sorry. And it's a road, like Longleaf has been undergoing, you know, a lot of renovation because of the traffic issues, the quality of the road there, the bridge down the way that goes over the water was completely replaced last year. I'm not sure that those enhancements or refurbishments have done a lot to improve traffic on that road. You've got schools, obviously, right there, and, you know, that creates a lot of the problem. But that is a project that's been going on. That's not what this is about, particularly. This is about, there's these ball fields back in there where the Bellevue Packers play, the Bellevue Athletic Park, and apparently the county has paved this road, which had been a complaint about the quality of the road, but because there's more use in the ballpark now, they've paved the road, and the because of the paving, you've now got water runoff issues for these people in their lots. And there's sort of a lot of backstory here, but that's kind of the bare bones minimum of it. There was a lot of in between his comment and when Commissioner Gosch responded, but I want to skip ahead to Commissioner Gosch's response to him about that text message and what he claimed was the, you know, hostile behavior or whatever.
Larry, the text message, you know, I'll own that. I was very upset. You called my office over and over. We sent staff out there. We sent Janice Gilley out there. I sent the director of Parks and Rec out there. We bent over like circus contortionists to make you happy. Where I stopped, my stop point is when you call my office and you're so caustic that my aide, Debbie King Kenny, one of the nicest women I've ever known in my life, is to the point of tears and tells me just exactly what you said to her. I will not tolerate that from you or anyone. You call my office assistant, Debbie Kenny, and you put her to the point she's crying, you're right. I'm done with you. That's all I have to say. Thanks, Mr. Chairman.
So who's in the he said of this? Who's got the right of it? I don't know. I mean, I just sharing you what happened. You make the decisions for yourself about all this. But again, the basic issue that he was upset about, and several other residents showed up to explain how this was a problem, is the way the county handled that road and the paving of it, which Commissioner Gosch wants to say was a really good thing because it made the ball fields used again, which a lot of people are enjoying the amenity. But you've also got this subdivision that's supposed to be going in at the back of that road, and it's the classic problem of people are living on a road accustomed to a certain way of life, and now what was previously a dead-end road is going to end in a bunch more people with more cars, and the traffic onto Longleaf is already a problem, and the quality of life on that road is already suffering. This is Guy Stevens.
We're concerned, the safety concerns about the housing project that's going to go in at the end of Nathan Road.
Okay.
I mean, it's a real big safety concern because as the way it stands now, it's only going to be one way in and one way out on Nathan Road. the road isn't designed to handle.
And on to Longleaf. Man, I wouldn't wish that on anybody, especially at school time. Rhonda Owens.
And I'm telling you, with all the traffic, it's going to be very dangerous for me. It's already been really bad for me since they done the ballpark. They messed up our property. It never used to flood like that. I'm right next door to Mr. Kelly's house, and I have water sitting in my front yard and backyard for days on end. You can't even use the facilities because all the water's backing up.
So, a couple of issues. One, the road being paved or not. Number two, the project behind there being allowed or not. And apparently, it didn't even have to come to the county commission because he's already within the zoning. And that's one thing people don't often understand is if you're not trying to change the zoning, you don't have to really come for permission. You know, I mean, there are certain parts of it that need permission, but you don't have to come and get a big approval to do a thing that you're already entitled to do on your land. The county, if they're going to thwart you, has to kind of come up with a reason to do it. Now, she says that the project behind them on Nathan Road could have gone out to Pine Forest instead. They didn't have to connect onto Longleaf. I take her at her word that that's an alternative. And generally speaking, if you can go directly to a major road like Pine Forest instead of to a, you know, a small road like Nathan or through Nathan on Longleaf, you know, that would be preferable, especially because with the schools there, you already have an issue. We'll come back to this in just a second, give you Commissioner Bergosh's comments as well. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
Okay, we're seeing some major slowdown on I-10 once you get past Garson Point Road eastbound. I think that's exit 28. You're going to see some major slowdown from an accident heading into Milton there. And heading into Windhaven Beach on Highway 98, actually starting all the way back in Navarre at Whispering Pines Road, we've got some major slowdown from an accident there. If you see anything else out there on our roadways, you can always let me know on our traffic tip line. That's 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home and you want to get somebody who's really skilled at it, understands all the ins and outs, and, you know, for example, I mean, can help make sure that you're paying attention to all the things like, you know, what are the property owners behind your road going to do? What's that? What could change in your subdivision that you're thinking about buying in or that you're selling from? I mean, all of these things are relevant information. It's hard to keep up on all this stuff, but Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, they're great at this stuff. They do understand it. They do understand the market, interest rates, all of that, and they can help you find a smoking deal on a house, even a new build. They can help you get, you know, some pretty good financial consideration for even a new build, but especially if you're buying, you know, an existing home or you're selling a home, they can take care of you. They sold 175 homes last year. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty. Back to the discussion about this Nathan Road issue that was not an agenda item. They just came up because the residents were unhappy, and they did what often people do, which is the residents in a neighborhood are unhappy, and they get together, and they go to the commission, and they plead with them to please do something. And I feel for these folks because they have flooding that they didn't have before. Now, it sounds like it's yard flooding, not in-the-home flooding, which those are major distinctions. But it's inconvenient, and if you had a yard that you could use before and now you feel like you can't use your yard, that's frustrating. And if it's because the county paved a road that had previously been like a gravel road that could percolate down into that exact footprint, you're frustrated. On the other hand, Commissioner Bergosh says, look, they've been trying to solve this for a long time. They did a lot of things going back to even Janice Gillies' term and, you know, tried to solve for Larry Kelly's problems and tried to work with him.
Paving of that road improved the park. We now have a situation where that park is being utilized by high school teams. It was run down. I don't know if you all remember it. I mean, you live next door over the fence, but it was pretty run down. Wasn't getting a lot of activity. Now we have a high school team that plays out there. We have a lot of activities out there. The Bellevue Packers are happy with their field. We've got an adult baseball team that plays out there. I'm told by people who have lived here their entire lives that the park has never been better.
Which is a plus, but it's a bit of a, you know, rubbing salt in the wound to tell these people that, you know, hey, we made life bad for you, but great for all these other folks. So I'm not sure that that answers their objections, but I understand the, you know, net cost benefit analysis he's performing.
I know it's difficult. I've seen where I live in Beulah for 20 years. All around us was forests. Now it's all apartments and houses. I understand. It's because people want to live here. But once you set that emotional aspect aside, people that spend money and invest in property, they have property rights. I don't recall this board. In fact, Drew Homer, please come to the podium. I don't recall this board even approving apartments. I've heard talk of it. But my understanding is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Drew, that that property was zoned for that. I mean, was that property?
Yes, sir. Heavy commercial, light industrial, future land use, mixed use urban.
Okay.
Nathan Road duplexes is for 26 buildings.
Okay. And so that would not even come to the planning board, or would it?
No, sir.
And would that come to us for our approval?
No, sir.
Again, because it's within the property rights already attached to that particular property. So it's not something the board even has an ability to say about, because they're within all of their parameters. Somebody texted me a note and said if they were to connect to Pine Forest, that would actually require additional cost because it's a state road, and which that I think is an interesting, you know, reasonable answer. That's a slice of this that I didn't understand. Back to Jeff Bergosh just giving him his final say on the subject.
So here's the thing. If you buy a piece of property in Escambia County and it meets the code, you have property rights. That means, Larry, on your property, you're allowed to do what you want to as long as it's within code. If you wanted to buy that property and not develop it, you could have done that. I don't like it. You don't like it. We don't like it. But growth is happening in this country and in this community because people want to live here. Now, we'll do everything we can.
Yeah, and it's just, it's a reminder to me that this, things you didn't know you needed to think about. You know, I can't tell you how many times when we've, you know, bought property, just you learn something new all the time. And what do you have to pay attention to? You know, where's the floodwaters? Where's the creek? Where's the power lines, if you believe that that's a concern? Where are the, you know, who owns property where in relation to you? What future road projects are coming near you? You know, like all of that stuff, which it's a lot. It's a lot to pay attention to, including, you know, even dumb things like, you know, what's the difference in traffic volume in, you know, if you go see a house at noon and it's near a school, well, you might not see the totality of what traffic is like at that house. And I remember one time, this is elsewhere, this is actually in Arizona, we went and looked at a property, and it was in a bad part of town because the it was in 2005, it was in the height of the, you know, the property's just going through the roof. And we looked at a property in a, kind of a bad part of town, and I'm like, there's a park over here, and there doesn't seem to be lights. We probably ought to come back here at night. Well, we discovered other things about that property that we made us decide that we didn't even need to come back at night. But that's true. You know, you don't know what a place is going to be like to live in if you just go by for 20 minutes. So one of the just a bare bones minimum thing is, my takeaway on this is, obviously got to pay attention, ask a lot of questions, look at the zoning for surrounding areas. Don't take things for granted. But also, you know, I strongly recommend go talk to the neighbors. You know, talk to the people who live on that street. They'll tell you what's wrong with that street. They know. And they'll tell you if it's a good neighborhood, loud neighborhood, quiet, safe, you know, whatever. And it's a little bit of inconvenience, but it's a lot of suffering if you don't find things out before you buy a property. 722 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's strength for life.
What is your spiritual blood type? Physically speaking, there are four principal blood types: type A, type B, type AB, and type O. And in case of a physical emergency, it's important that you know what your blood type is. However, in case of a spiritual emergency known as sin, death, and hell, it is important that you know what your spiritual blood type is. The hymn writer famously said, "What can wash away my sins?" The answer? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood is an atoning blood. It is an incorruptible blood. It is a precious blood, and it is the only blood that God the Father accepts as a sufficient payment for our sin emergency. So are you covered by the blood of Jesus? If not, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Call upon Christ today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Pinner Credit Union is here. For every move-in day to the perfect home, every trip up the coast in the perfect car, for every business door unlocked, every dollar saved for something special, every dream achieved one goal at a time, we're here. Because Pinair Credit Union has been a part of this community since 1936, and with affordable lending, flexible accounts, easy access, and smart guidance, we're a perfect fit for the way you bank. Join us at pinair.org. You'll fit right in. Insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Got no reason for the things I fear, the things that plague me when I see and hear. Dime's a nickel and a nickel's none. I'll throw myself into the Sunday sun.
We're now going to move to update on flag project. Just so y'all know, staff sent out for bids and advertised, and we've had a lot of interest in this project.
Mr. Chairman, I looked at the bid portal this morning. There's over 20 firms that downloaded the packet, expressed interest in that way, and there's two that have formalized their bid submissions. So we'll open them at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Well, they opened them yesterday. 10 a.m. they opened the bids yesterday for the biggest flag in the entire state of Florida, Vanity Project, which I say that, but I have been very much on both sides of this issue. Seemed like a lot of money to spend on the James Calkins Vanity Project, and at the same time, be kind of cool to have a massive flag. I don't think that's the right location. I think it should be off of I-10. That would create a value for a lot more people than being at the administrative complex. That's not what the they haven't made a decision yet anyway. But that's not the direction that they were leaning. But okay, so they actually opened the bids, and what did they find out? You remember what the price was that Devan Cook, a Santa Rosa County administrator, had told us? I think he had given us the ballpark estimate of $150. Okay, $100, $150, and then the flag replacement was also going to be a big issue, right? What did we actually get for the bids yesterday? Two companies bid. Keene Enterprises, doing business as USA Flag and Flagpole Supply, came back with a lowball bid of $291,070. Plus additional cost if they have to dispose of the dig dirt off-site, and if there are no soil issues. The flagpole company, meanwhile, comes back with another lowball bid offer of $301,653. $300,000 for a flag. Not including maintenance. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
All right. If you're on Highway 98 eastbound going through Navarre, it's going to be a mess getting into Windhaven Beach. We've got slowdown from an accident starting all the way at the Walmart in East Navarre, stretching all the way up to the McDonald's at Parrish Boulevard. It's definitely going to be a slow roll there this morning. Also, I-10 eastbound, as soon as you pass Garson Point Road, we've got an accident there, slowing things down, going across the Blackwater River Bridge. Looks like Highway 98 westbound, getting through Tiger Point, is seeing its normal morning slowdown at the light at Garson. And Highway 29 south through Inslee is starting to see a little bit of slowdown. Otherwise, around town, we're looking pretty good. If you see anything else out there slowing you down, you can call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. House Republicans are voting today on a bill that could ban TikTok in the U.S. That bill would require ByteDance to sell to an American owner. And President Biden has said he would sign it into law. You know, one question I had on TikTok was how many people are actually making money being TikTok influencers?
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to research that, but there's not really a lot of hard information on that out there. But they said there's over 100 million users of TikTok in the U.S. and 50% of them.
I thought the number I heard was 170, like it was half the population.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just a ton of people.
Enormous,
and over 50% have uploaded their own content. So who knows on that? 80s pop star Carl Wallinger has died at 66. He was known for his band World Party. They had a 1987 hit with Ship of Fools. And lawyers for a Boeing whistleblower who was found dead are speaking out. The body of 62-year-old John Barnett was found in South Carolina at a hotel over the weekend. The coroner's office has said it was a self-inflicted gunshot wound. His attorneys, though, are saying they didn't see any indication that Barnett would take his own life.
All right, David. Thanks so much for the update. Yeah, I just checked, double checked. 170 million U.S. is the rough estimate. Of course, it's hard to tell. But, you know, and how many of those are real people versus not? Oh, and on the flagpole thing, didn't include lighting. Didn't include the flag. That's just to put a giant pole in the ground. And, of course, if you put one at 207 feet, the tallest in the state of Florida, what if somebody else comes along with a 210-foot pole? I mean, maybe you need to buy an extension just in case, you know, telescoping or, you know, something for when it's like regular height and then, you know, fully aroused height or something like that.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster.
Now we have to get back to work because we have the worst president in the history of our country. His name is Joe Biden.
Donald Trump and President Biden both clinched their party's presidential nominations, winning more primaries yesterday. The president will be in Milwaukee today.
President Biden will announce funding for projects that reconnect neighborhoods cut off from vibrant downtowns or riverfronts by increasing walking paths, bike and vehicle lanes, and mixed-use developments.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Aaron Rodgers is on the short list to join Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s independent presidential ticket.
The New York Jets quarterback is a potential candidate to be Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s presidential running mate, a representative for RFK Jr. confirmed to Fox News Digital. The New York Times first reported the Rodgers news and that former WWE star and former Minnesota Governor Jesse Ventura was on Kennedy's list.
Fox's Joe Morgan polls show Kennedy pulling votes from President Biden and Donald Trump. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 51 degrees. It looks like mostly cloudy skies in Pensacola this morning. Well, the city of Pensacola getting a little bit closer to opening the first three Portland Loo public restrooms downtown. They'll be located at MLK Plaza, Blake Doyle Skate Park, Bruce Beach, and Mayor D.C. Reeves says they're in discussions right now for a fourth restroom facility.
We have historic trust right now. They've got to get some approvals and boards and things like that. We've actually looked at putting a fourth Portland Loo in the Museum Plaza area, kind of behind the State Museum. That would be in good proximity to Plaza Ferdinand, but also could be used for UWF and some of their events there. That where even if they needed more than one restroom, at least you've got one permanent restroom there.
And as for the first three facilities, Reeves says they were delivered last month. Installation on those should be completed soon. A 100-pound sea turtle now in critical condition after washing ashore on Pensacola Beach recently. The turtle, now called Nickel, is being cared for by staff members at the Gulfarium. They say the turtle was a subadult loggerhead. They haven't been able to determine its exact age or sex. But the turtle was covered in barnacles. Gulfarium care employees believe it's suffering from what they call debilitated turtle syndrome. The Gulfarium Care Center team says they're currently working to provide the turtle with the care it needs to make a recovery. However, its outcome is still unclear. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz says he believes President Biden shouldn't have been charged in his classified documents case, but he also says neither should former President Trump. That from yesterday's hearing with special counsel Robert Hur.
But it's frustrating to be like, oh, well, this guy's not getting treated the same way as Trump because the elevator's not going to the top floor, so we can't prove intent. While at the same time, Biden goes out there at the White House and says, well, you know, he just blatantly lies. And what I'm trying to figure out is whether or not Biden's lying because he's still so senile, he hasn't read your report, or whether it's a little craftier and a little more devious and perhaps a little more intentional.
And while Hur admitted that it was conceivable a jury may have found Biden guilty of a crime, he elected not to bring charges due to Biden's diminished faculties that a jury might have been sympathetic to. Well, the Escambia Sheriff's Office looking for a person of interest in connection to that fatal shooting near North R and Godfrey Streets Monday morning. Deputies say Chelsea Rayanne Cicero is now wanted for questioning only. This is after a man was found dead with a gunshot wound to the chest. Sheriff Chip Simmons did say that deputies initially responded to a shot spotter report of a gunshot at 3 a.m., but the victim wasn't found until later that morning at about 7:45. And local law enforcement says they haven't had a lot of conversations yet on how a new law that would ban the homeless from sleeping in public would be enforced. But if it is signed into law by Governor DeSantis, it will be enforced. One big hurdle is figuring out where they can take people to get them off the streets.
We're pushing a long time for this dashboard to kind of let our deputies know where. So when we get out with somebody, we can say, hey, it looks like there's room in the rescue mission or this other home. And so that we can all work together on these things so that whatever actions the county ends up taking, we're consistent. It's consistent with the law, obviously. And, you know, it's that balancing act. You know, you have to balance the law with humanity.
And Sheriff Chip Simmons there, he says it's his office's job to enforce state law, and they will. This law did make it through the legislature. It would require each county to set up a designated homeless camp with basic services like restrooms, running water, access to behavioral health services, and security. It is 7:35 at News Radio, and Jake's got our traffic on the fives.
All right, this traffic report brought to you by Frontier Motors. If you're on Highway 98 eastbound heading through Navarre and trying to get over to Windhaven Beach or Mary Esther, it's just so slow going, very, very backed up, starting all the way just past the Navarre Beach Causeway, stretching all the way up into Windhaven Beach to the Parish Boulevard McDonald's intersection. Also, I-10 eastbound, we do have an accident right as you pass the Garçon Point Road. And stretching over the Blackwater Bridge, and see some slowing down there. Also, we have an accident reported. This is going to be East Olive Road at North Davis Highway in Pensacola. We have a vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock there. Also, Highway 98 westbound, we're seeing our normal morning slowdown getting through Tiger Point. And other than that, we're looking okay. If you see anything else out there slowing you down on the roadways, let me know about it. 437-1620, call or text. Frontier Motors, the only dealer that Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Well, a good Wednesday morning. You won't need the jacket for very long. High temperatures are getting up into the middle 70s today with partly cloudy skies. As we look ahead to Thursday, the low temperatures even improve. We'll have 60s across the area and highs into the mid to upper 70s. That warming trend continues into Friday as well. Could have some small chances for rain Thursday and Friday during the second half of the day, but they're only at about 20 to 30% chances. Bigger chance coming up this weekend. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEAR News.
And right now, 51 in Pensacola, 52 in Gulf Breeze, 47 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A recent Finance Times poll found that 63% of respondents blame price increases on large corporations taking advantage of inflation rather than Democratic policies. This is up from 54% in November. The consumer price index increased by 0.4% in February, matching expectations. The rise in prices was primarily driven by housing costs, which is one of the key focuses of Biden's 2025 budget proposal. Dollar Tree posted a quarterly loss of just over $1 billion after the retailer took on a $1 billion impairment charge as it plans to shut nearly 1,000 stores. In November, the discount retailer had announced it would review its Family Dollar business and
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Is your house making you sick? Learn about the hazards lurking in your home that can affect your health due to high humidity levels and excess moisture. High humidity levels and excess moisture inside the home are the leading cause of insect infestation, mold, mildew, musty odors, and fungi, which can result in making you sick. Condensations on windows and vents, blistering or peeling paint, and cupping of hardwood floors are all signs of high humidity levels and excess moisture. Learn more today at 9 on Pep Talk with Lisa Murphy from Southern Climate Solutions.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Burn. Burn. Yeah. Ah. That was
original posting hours that kind of caused some of the confusion was sunset to sunrise, which is our normal park situation. The hours will be midnight to 5 a.m. Will be closed midnight to 5 a.m. Excuse me. So 5 a.m. to midnight. Let me say that correctly. Will only be closed from midnight to 5 a.m. There's a couple other minor rule changes. Just with some of the equipment that could be used. I believe it had said no bicycles. We're changing that. And even though there's not a lot of bicycle use now.
So interesting, the mayor talking about changes to the skate park. We'll talk about that with him in just a second. I do want to clarify one thing. I made a mistake. I said that the flag estimate of $291 or $301,000 did not include a flag. It does include the first flag, $9,500, shipping included, by the way. So just so you know, that's what the replacement cost is going to be for each one thereafter, I would figure as well. Now to Mayor D.C. Reeves, who always joins us on a Wednesday at this time. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thank you.
You're very welcome. It's always good to have you. Bikes at the skate park? I'm with you on the hours. Makes perfect sense to me, of course, and the fact that they're all cleaning up their own graffiti. Great. All good news, but I'm always a little bit nervous about letting people do their BMX tricks amongst the skateboarders because they are bigger, faster, and far more dangerous.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a double-edged sword, and I think you remember where we were, which was we had a grand opening with a ribbon cutting with rules that were posted that said no bicycles, and I think there's 50 bicycles behind me in the ribbon cutting.
Right.
So, what we're trying to figure out is it's not what we all individually want, but what's the best way to enforce, and hence the delay, right? Why did we wait, these several months? One, we wanted to kind of see what usage would be like, and two, we wanted some enforceability, which would be the cameras going in, which are now in. There's no metal pegs. I mean, from a damage standpoint, on those bikes allowed, because we don't want that being used. And now with cameras, if your concern becomes a significant issue, then that is something that we'd be able to monitor and prove is becoming a problem, if that makes sense. Whereas before, we've just been saying, hey, the bicycles are closed at sunset, and then we've got lights on all night and bike there anyway. So, we're trying to find that happy medium between what can be enforced that to maximize the use of the park. And so from an hour standpoint, we conferred with PPD and said, hey, when are we seeing problems, if at all? When are these times? And those open and closed times are convenient for PPD coming in and out on when patrol shift changes and those kinds of things to keep extra eyes on it. So, we're real pleased with where we're at. And again, it's a big credit to the skating community also that taking care of this asset.
Absolutely.
That's theirs, that's important to them. And that, when graffiti hits, someone's out there fixing it. And, I get stories all the time of the older skaters getting out there bright and early and bringing their blowers out there and cleaning it up. And, I wish every park was like that, in our city. So, we want to keep it open as long as possible and let people continue to enjoy it. But now we're in a much, much better place to make sure that what rules we are posting there can be enforced.
And also, there is something sort of comforting / entertaining about imagining a whole bunch of people, let's just say older skaters my age, out there on their Schmidt sticks and playing their 90 punk rock and enjoying time at 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning. There is something about that that's sort of comforting and horrifying all at the same time. And, do we have appropriate medical team standing by for them as well? Hey, switching gears a little bit, obviously the Malcolm Young Gym sort of continues to be a challenge, a bit of a bustle, certainly with some people. I have said this, and I don't think I have said it directly to your face, so I'm going to go ahead and say it to your face and get you to respond. Now, you've kind of addressed this, but it seemed to me like we could have waited. It seemed to me like we could have waited a couple of months to see if they got signatures. We didn't have to. I agree with your legal analysis. Adam Cobb's legal analysis didn't have to, but sort of the magnanimous alternative that doesn't ruin the opportunity for people to dispute this decision. Why not put it off for a month or two? Because it wasn't that urgent, I don't think. But you tell me, why not?
Well, it's very easy explanation, Andrew. Is that where does it end? And for example, let's say you're a radio host that doesn't like paying for parking. What stops you to get 10 city residents right now for saying, hey, 10 of us have all agreed that we should ban paid parking in the city. And now, Mayor, you're going to stop charging for parking for 60 days and see if we get the signatures. So at what point does it end? When do the wheels of government have to be paralyzed on what we are permitted to do by the charter? And so it's, I understand it, it in its own world, but when do I tell someone that we do that or we don't do that? So it's just, in my opinion, it's a pretty large risk to start making interpretations outside of what the charter says. And what the charter allows, because when does it stop?
Like the challenge here, though.
What objective topic do we decide we can or can't do that on?
Okay, I understand that the slippery slope argument carries some weight, but this is an undoable choice, right? That demolition, you can't rebuild it if you know there's no fixing this one after. And it wasn't that urgent. I mean, it's been in this condition for quite some time. That's where I keep, you know, I get the argument about, you know, how much do you stop government because a few people complain. It just seems like this was the kind of case where you actually could. And again, I know your leadership style is to, you know, validate and include as much as you possibly can. That's why it struck me as a little bit outside of your normal way of doing things.
Well, if we're going to take it off the interpretation of the charter, then my counter argument to that is that there is no reference in the charter whatsoever that awards of contracts are now susceptible to this. It is, to your point, exactly. It's why the charter says what it says. If this is a rule or an ordinance, that's when this comes into play. This is not on an award of a contract. Imagine if every award of contract, all you needed was 10 people to stop it. I understand what you're saying, but all I'm telling you is that there's nothing that is referred to in the charter that says when we award a contract to Team A, that if 10 people don't like Team A, then you stop it for 60 days. There's nothing that says that. So again, that your question is going off the assumption that awards of contracts are somehow susceptible within the charter, which they just aren't. And you can imagine why they can't be. I mean, awards of contracts cannot be something that 10 people can just stop for 60 days. Those would expire. Then we got to rebid it again. And there's a lot of reasons why we would do that. So yes, I understand that it's a finite, you know, there's finality in that decision. But you know, these are difficult decisions that we have to make. These are ones that we've talked about for months. This is not a sudden thing. This has been a discussion for months and months and months, 4 or 5 meetings. So this is not something that has been a surprise, and you know, we continue to move forward with something to try to solve, hopefully, the housing crisis that we have.
And I find that more persuasive because I agree with you that you couldn't make awards of contracts susceptible, especially because of escalating prices all the time. I can see more of that slice of it, and I appreciate that clarification. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves, City of Pensacola. Hang on for just a second, Mr. Mayor. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
Okay. If you're on Highway 98 eastbound this morning through Navarre and you're trying to get to Windhaven, it's backed up from the Navarre Beach Causeway all the way through Windhaven past Parish Boulevard now. Just really, really slow going there, so that's just going to be a mess this morning. Woodbine Road in Pace, it's backed up all the way from Highway 90 back to Guernsey Road. And East Olive Road and North Davis Highway in Pensacola, we have a vehicle crash with injuries and roadblock there, really slowing things down. Also, Highway 98 westbound through Tiger Point, seeing our normal morning slowdowns. If you see anything else out there on the roadways slowing us down, let me know. Call or text traffic tip line 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You used a word yesterday I had never heard before, a Portland loo, which not to be confused with a Portland
boo.
I wanted to, what are they? And we're going to Bruce Beach, we're going to the skate park, we're going to MLK, we're going to a couple of different places, which by the way, Bruce Beach is almost done. And from the photos I've seen, looks amazing. But anyway, what is a Portland loo and where and why? Help me understand.
Yeah, we are excited to have them. They actually just landed in Pensacola, the first three. Ultimately, it's a permanent bathroom facility, but what we like about it, as opposed to what you're used to seeing, which is typical cinder block, brick and mortar, you know, something with a roof and a standard roof and standard concrete building, these have been designed to be publicly used in many ways, in terms of how they're cleaned, in terms of how they operate. The lighting in them also there actually is a deterrent for drug use, as an example, the color, the shade of light that's used in it. So with a lot of the issues that Portland has dealt with, I think that they've figured out another example. There's grading on the bottom, so you can see that there's feet in there and you can see a head if someone's standing up. But so if there were to be crimes committed in there, things like that, there's some ability for law enforcement to have some visibility. So we like this much, much better than your standard building that someone can go in and lock the door, and that causes a lot of issues and concern of safety. And so it's really not a cost savings measure. It's an efficiency and measure and a safety measure to make sure our citizens stay safe. So we're going to put one at the skate park and one at Bruce Beach and one at MLK Plaza for DIB. That was for their Palo Fox markets. And then we've got a couple, maybe one more, maybe two in the works. We might add a second one in Bruce Beach, as well as we're working with UWF right now on maybe putting one right there in Museum Plaza, right next to Plaza Ferdinand.
Oh, right. Okay.
For their use and for Palo Fox Market's use as well.
How many stalls in each one, or is it just one? And then will the one at MLK, I know you said it's for DIB for the market, does that mean it will be locked for the rest of the time, or will that be open to the public sort of all hours?
Yeah, so to your first question, it's one. It's
okay.
Handicap accessible, needs wind loads, all those things. Again,
got it.
Trust me, when you see the price tag, you know it's about the same as building your own building. But what's nice too is they're modular. So if we see that use is down in one place or up in another place, you can pick it up and move it to another location, you know, with a relatively minimal cost. So we like that modular effect as well. As far as the MLK Plaza, we've left that in the hands of DIB. This is DIB's request, and as I've said to DIB leadership, if we were going to pick our top three or top four locations in terms of traffic and activity, that would not be one of them for us. But remember, previous to me, there was some agreement and a financial partnership with DIB looking to do that. So it's a, hey, if this is something that you know you guys are using your dollars on and this is your request, then you're holding the keys in terms of when they're open. I mean, because at the end of the day, one's going there because of the weekends. So, you know, I would leave that to them when they want that to be open.
Okay, so is the money for that one DIB provided or the city provided?
Yes, it's DIB provided. There was
okay.
a previous agreement of, you know, putting up money under Mayor Robinson's tenure. So, yes, it ultimately we're managing the project, but it's DIB funding. So,
perfect.
And again, the way I see it is if that's DIB funding and it's for a DIB use, then they should be responsible for, you know, when those hours are.
Right, and that fits with your explanation that wouldn't be one of your priorities, but it's their money. They can choose which is a priority to them, which makes sense. We always like to end
Correct.
With a lightning round, the fast questions. First question of the day, which will be our frivolous topic today, so answer wisely. Bacon, apparently dangerous. do you cook bacon until it's crispy, or do you like it a little flappy floppy?
Well, now after listening to you guys on the way to the gym this morning, I'm definitely like as crispy as it gets. But, like I actually had to change the channel. It was grossing me out.
So nasty.
Starting today, like I want it like, you know, black and as cooked as possible.
No more tapeworm baby's bacon. Okay, good. This is a nasty story. True. When you're pulling into the parking lot at, let's say, the big box retailer or the grocery store or whatever, assuming that it's 90 degrees, are you back in or front in your parking?
Front in. I just feel like it takes too long to back in. I feel like it's not as courteous, but I don't, you know, if I drove a big truck or something, maybe I'd do the back in.
I
always
gotcha.
Front in.
And when you bring a banana home from the store, or presumably more than just one, how do you store it?
In a basket with the other fruit that may or may not be ripe, depending.
On the counter.
Know, on the,
so basically out on the counter at room temperature, not with foil or saran wrapper in the refrigerator.
Yeah, is that the correct way to do it?
I think the refrigerator is the worst idea, but some people are weird. You know, people do their own thing. So, and also, yes,
course,
some people wrap the stems in foil
yeah.
or saran wrap. There's odd stuff out there. Very good, Mayor D.C. Reeves. Good to find out you're normal like the rest of us. Basket for the fruit. We'll talk to you again next week. As always, thank you so much for the time, sir. I appreciate it.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
754 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Autotrader and my good friend Max here... The Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KelleyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru. Get yours during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
This is Pastor Carl Gallups of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. Are you and your family looking for a church that when Sunday morning rolls around, you can say, oh good, it's time to go to church? Well, let me invite you to consider worshiping with us at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church, where multiplied hundreds of people say these very words every Sunday. We are doctrinally sound, featuring the exaltation of Jesus Christ and the clear contextual preaching of the Bible. The Bible is made relevant and exciting. You're convicted, challenged, encouraged, and uplifted at the same time. We have premier youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, Bible studies, and missions outreach. We have a team of pastoral counselors offering guidance for your Christian and family life. You can find out everything you'd want to know about us on our huge and highly interactive website at hickoryhammockbaptist.org. Let me give you an open invitation to worship at Hickory Hammock Baptist Church this Sunday morning. And then the next Sunday, you'll say, oh good, it's time to go to church. I kid you not, regular members and even first-time guests say it every single Sunday.
Looking for a sewing machine? Daryl's Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in Pensacola, with new machines starting at $249 and used machines starting at just $150. There are lots of machines to choose from under $500, plus sewing furniture, craft supplies, and fabric. Financing is available. Daryl's Sewing, 6705 North Davis Highway, between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com. The folks at Daryl's say, when you buy from us, you get from us. That's sewinginpensacola.com.
Are you a fan of all things Florida? Then the Fresh from Florida Club should be on your menu. Search and save your favorite recipes, create custom menus, and get all your cooking questions answered by me, Florida's culinary ambassador, Chef Justin, for free. It's easy to sign up, and best of all, you'll be supporting Florida's farmers, ranchers, and fishermen. Join today at freshfromflorida.com. A message from the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R.
.757 News Radio 92.3. Jake has got traffic on the fives. Jake, go ahead.
Ooh, okay. Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but
do you?
It's I do. I really hate
right,
it.
Just checking.
Highway 98 eastbound, getting through Navarre. Once you pass the Navarre Beach Causeway, it's a slow roll all the way into Windhaven Beach. Very, very slow headed that direction this morning. Also, Highway 98 westbound through Tiger Point, seeing our normal morning slowdowns. I-10 at Pine Forest, starting to see our normal morning slowdown there. And we have Woodbine Road in Pace. It's backed up all the way from Highway 90 back to Guernsey Road. And we have an accident at East Olive Road and Davis Highway, really slowing things down in all directions there. Looking at the map at that intersection, just all the side streets, everything going by the hospital there, it is just really, really slow going there. And also, that's Scenic Highway. Have a slow roll headed eastbound toward East Olive Road there this morning. If you see anything else out there, I don't know where else we'd be able to have it, let me know. 437-1620, call or text. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Oh, by the way, I know some people have noted, and I actually heard it driving in this morning, that on 92.3 there was some static this morning. The signal wasn't... So environmental things sometimes affect us, but you can always go to AM 1620. That signal, our original signal, is still available. And
very strong.
Did pretty strong. David, do you have a quick news story for us, or did we give you too little time?
Yeah, probably not right
okay,
now.
Okay, fair enough. Good. Perfect. That's exactly what I intended. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. David Wayne, of course, will have your local news coming up next. 95.3 also, and digital 98.7 on Channel 3.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.